Good day and welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Chuck Morales. We're joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent as we talk about city business and the most recent city council meeting. And Mayor Trent, as always, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chuck. We appreciate you having us on.
Well, taking a look at the agenda, and you and I talked a little bit before the program about something that actually was not really on the agenda but came up during the meeting, and it's in regards to Triplet Creek.
Yes, it was a late addition to the agenda, and in 1971, the Corps of Engineers did a comprehensive study, and that's actually when they used a local contractor and dredged the creek. You hear that all the time. Well, why don't we just dredge the creek? Why don't we just do this? Well, they dredged the creek back then, and there was an agreement from I've seen the outline of the study, the comprehensive studies, several hundred pages. I've seen the 25 or 30 page outline of it. And it took a long time to find it. Matter of fact, we had to go through several different levels of the Corps, which is a federal agency, of course, and to find it. But basically, it was dredged, widened, deepened back then by a local contractor and approved. Well, since then, there's been no dredging allowed. There's been no really any significant improvement, which is a relative term, depending on who you ask, to the creek since then. So what are we, 45 years out now? And we've, with Beth Oosley, she's our chair, and Sherry Farley, our co-chairs for our flood committee. We had met with the Corps of Engineers, the Division of Water. We met with representatives from the EPA, state and local water and transportation. We had a couple big meetings here. One last year and one early this spring, and they basically told us that Morehead's on the radar. Obviously, we're in the 100-year floodplain, and we've had two floods in the last five years in the 100-year floodplain. So obviously, there needs to be some adjustments made to that map as far as how some of our topography has changed around the creek, how that has changed as far as they call them blue line streams coming into this. Into the creek. So they have, we've got on their radar, which is very difficult to do sometimes, and we've sent them a lot of information, and they are now going to propose doing a study of just Triplet Creek and a couple of the main tributaries that lead into it.
This is to prevent further flooding,
To prevent further flooding, to find out a way to see what we can do that is both protective to nature but also protective to our business owners and property owners and residents. It's about a $150,000 study. We would be responsible for half of that, but it's our understanding that DLG, the State Department of Local Government, will be able to probably help us, more than likely help us with even half of that. So we're looking at roughly $37,000, $37,500 as our part of a comprehensive study of just Triplet Creek. And a couple of the tributaries that come in. That coupled with what we also talked about last night is an update with Alan Robinson and Eclipse Engineering. He is taking a study of all of the infrastructure in town that leads into the creek. So we figure if we do that, and then April Haight is also working with a study on the banks and how to improve and prevent more erosion. So we think right now we've pretty much got an opportunity for relatively low cost when you look at overall to the city to have an idea of what we need to do over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Because as we've talked many times on here, there's not one fix. You don't go and plug one hole and add one line and everything's fixed. It's just going to take a huge effort. Well, we've been piecemealing it for many years. Well, now we're going to try to get a comprehensive study that takes it from the creek all the way to every little ditch and city stream and whatever can lead into that and see exactly what we need to do, if we need to improve some pipes, if we need to do infrastructure, if we need to just all the different things we can do. Now, can we do all of that? No. You're talking about probably millions of dollars once it's all come out. But it allows us to see what we think are the most important, what we can do now, low-hanging fruit, as people like to say, and then go from there. And here's the thing. Whatever we do, if it reduces the surface water 1 inch, That doesn't sound like a lot. It doesn't look like a lot in a bucket. But 1 inch spread over the city could prevent people from flooding. So our goal is to just reduce that as you know, just keep going and reduce it as much as we can, and then just keep trying to make improvements. That's all we're trying to do is making improvements and make it better so that you can't hardly improve on 90% impervious surfaces, and that's what we have downtown right now. So what we have to do is try to control that water that comes off of that runoff, and then also make sure we have really good ordinances in place, and we work well with new construction to make sure that that doesn't add to that. And we have, and that we're very pleased with some of the new construction going up, and they're very cognizant of, you know, our flooding situation.
Let's get into dredging, because people still ask you that question, and I've heard the answer, but I was hoping you'd go ahead and explain why dredging is not the answer.
Dredging is something where if you look at, and you're just looking at it from a layman's eye, and you look at a creek and say, well, if you dig it out 30 feet, 40 feet, then it's going to hold more water, and then it won't flood. Well, that's not necessarily the case. When you dredge, you take out the natural curve. You take out the natural built-in flood It's hard to say. When things are dredged, they're straightened, they're dug deeper, and anytime you straighten a stream, it makes the water flow more quickly. Now, some people would say, well, yeah, it gets the water out of here. No, it doesn't, because somewhere down the line, that water is going to back up. I mean, you would have to dredge thousands of miles before you would get to where you wouldn't be able to where it would flow completely free like you would think. What you need to do is, like we talked about a couple meetings ago, a couple of sessions ago, they had a fellow in there who was a hydrologist, and he talked about how they're going to go in, April study, we talked about, they're going to go in and try to recapture some of the natural curving, some of the natural rock formations that are there that dissipates the water. If you dredge it, you straighten it out, it makes it a really powerful force, and as we've talked before, if you take water under extreme pressure, it can cut metal, it can cut steel. And this is an extreme example, but if we think of the Grand Canyon, I mean, the Snake River was what basically built the Grand Canyon. So if you see the under extreme pressure, what can happen? So that's happened over the years, and if you go in and you do it man-made dredging, then if you don't put it back and do the natural curvature and have the natural berms on the banks and have the rock formations that actually filter and take care of, because it's not so much the flooding that is the water itself, it's what the water pushes. If you have a extreme strong current, it's going to push, as we see, trees and rocks and sediment. And what that does is somewhere down the way, if it's not completely straight for hundreds of miles, something's going to stop that up. And then the faster the water hits that blockage, then the faster it's going to rise all the way back up and flood. So it's something that I had to be educated on. I mean, my eye would say, well, yeah, let's just dig it out, make it wider. Well, I've been educated over the last year and a half talking to all these different flood experts with the state, city, and independent and private groups, engineering groups. Now I understand.
And the water has to go somewhere.
The water has to go somewhere. Flooding is a part of nature. It's our job to make sure that it doesn't flood in a destructive way. It's going to flood some. I mean, it doesn't matter if you get, no matter what we do, if it dumps 8 inches on Round County in a couple, in Moorhead City proper in 2 hours, we're going to have some flooding of some sort. Our job is to make sure that we mitigate that it's not taking over First Street, that maybe it's in people's yards, okay? But it's not, First Street's not underwater. So our job is to, like I said, reduce it an inch at a time, and it will prevent a lot more property damage, and hopefully, save lives as well. We've been very fortunate. The last two big floods we've had, we've not had any loss of life, but we've had millions of dollars loss of property. So, it's just a long process, and it's a process that you got to start someplace.
I'm getting the impression it's going to take a number of years, and it's going to take several different types of measures to fix the flooding issue.
It really is. And, I mean, we have looked at it, and we've had experts come in. We've had people. We've talked from all different levels of government, all different levels of engineering, And, you know, there's not one fix. There's not five fixes. There's not 10 fixes. It's going to take a culmination of these. And our job is to start where we think is the worst part. And right now it's around the First Street area, and try to see how we can reduce the water there, and then go on and keep going to where we improve what gets the water there. And then that then we look at the creek as well at the same time, and try to slow down how the water gets there, try to slow down the volume of what gets there.
On another project, I know you're working up on North Wilson still to go ahead and fix that retaining wall that had been pulling away from the street. How's it going?
It's going well. There was some rain. You know, we've had some rain here the last few weeks, so it set them back about a week. We had talked here. We'd got a request from them that they would like to have up to the end of August, but there's some room in there, and we made it clear to them we want it finished before school starts, because, as we know, just past that section is the Circle, which is a large MSU student population lives there, and that will increase the traffic flow probably at least 40-50% when it comes back. So we told them that it has to be done by then, and fortunately, it looks like that's going to happen. I don't have a date yet, but we hope to have it instead of the 1st of August. We look like it's going to be done by finished, completed by the middle of August before MSU gets back in.
Yeah, you mentioned that. This is probably the best time to do that with people out of town for the summer.
It is, and you don't have as much traffic flow as you normally have, and I think school starts back somewhere around the 18th, 19th, somewhere in there. So our goal is to have it finished and ready to for normal operation the weekend before school comes back in.
The $300,000 project, is it going to stay pretty much on budget, or can you come in under budget possibly?
Well, there's a possibility of coming in slightly under budget. Again, it was something that we were able to get some funding from the state to help with that, Rural Road Aid and other agencies were helped us as far as with some money, so it didn't cost the city nearly as much. It didn't cost us $300,000 out of our pocket. We were, we're right around the $100,000-$150,000 range, which is not bad for that. You know, this is something that we can't avoid and can't put off. It had to happen. So, you know, as far as the real numbers, I haven't seen them, but I know we're not going to be over budget at all. And if anything else, we're going to be right on or slightly under.
Again, we're talking with Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent on Front Page, and we'll do some more of that right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is our guest on the program. And let's talk a little bit about recreation. And I know that there is an interlocal committee that's working on recreation, people appointed by the county, people appointed by the city, and they're trying to figure out what to do as we move forward with the future of this area for recreation. And I guess they're getting set to put out something very important to maybe help with some of that decision-making process.
They really are. We put together this committee, Doc Blevins and I did, about a year ago, and it's been going very well. They meet every month, and it's a group that's made up of all different kinds of backgrounds, but a lot of recreation in there, a lot of folks who have had coaching, but also folks who are in business and different fields to help us with this. And one of the misconceptions when we first came up with it was that, well, they're putting this together for a project. And that's what I wanted to you know, make sure I make a comment on that. This committee was put together to find out ways and to look at creative ways to enhance the overall wellness and recreational activities for our city, our community, which goes right towards what we're always trying to do and improve livability. In other words, yes, we're going to hopefully, you know, upgrade what we have with ball fields and maybe walking tracks and maybe possibly swimming facilities, and those are long-term things. But we also want to have dog parks. We also want to have, you know, just open recreational facilities or recreational areas so people can picnic and those type of things. It's not for the little league players or the basketball players necessarily. Youth basketball. It's for all ages. We want people who, you know, are 6 to 96 to be able to use this. So we feel like that helps us attract more businesses. It helps us, you know, not only make our community healthier, the ones who are living here, but also makes it attractive as a livability issue. So when people want to come in and bring jobs here and they want to have places and things to relocate families who are their employees, they want things for them to do positively. Well, we're very fortunate. We've got a beautiful recreation area, natural recreation area already. We got the trails and Joy Brown and all those folks down at tourism have worked very hard to promote that, and we also have the lake and you know, people use that. But we also want to have some in-town opportunities. So there's going to be a study it's a survey that we're putting out for the community. It's going to 13,000 households in the county. And it'll be coming, you know, we want everybody to start looking for that over the next few weeks. It's a simple 5 or 6 question survey, and it just asks about what do the individual people who receive that survey, what do they think we need? And there's 10 or 12 different activities, facilities, things mentioned on there. And it's for the future of our children, and it's for the future of our community being healthy and having an opportunity to have these type of things that maybe other communities have that we don't. Maybe there's something that's important to you, Chuck. Maybe you may want to see this, but also someone else may want to see that. Well, maybe we can do both. Maybe we can work together. And it's not going to be, we're not looking for one particular
thing. Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go, yeah. We didn't add that on there. Maybe we can add that on there later, but we were talking about that before. But we've got a really good working relationship with Morehead State University. Dr. Kenneth Henderson, who is a professor on campus, his class is going to take the information once we get these results back, as far as once we get the mailings back, because, you know, you put out 13,000. I mean, let's face it. We've all worked on surveys before. You hope to get 10% or above. Sometimes it's less than that. So our goal is to get 10 or above. And if we do, when we do, all that will be given to the students. So we don't want it to be like it's what the Recreation Commission wants. We want it to be a true survey of what people in the community feel like we need. Needs/wants survey for recreation wellness activities or facilities. So that class of Dr. Henderson is going to take, and they're going to do all of the breakdown of the statistics, and they're going to have us a report probably sometime in early to mid-October, and then we'll come back and we'll make that public. And then our next step then will be see how we can start working towards meeting some of those needs and goals.
One thing that we need to point out, and of course the discussion for several years has circulated around the Sunnybrook Golf Course that Morehead State used to own as being the property where you could put a park and all that. This is not just about Sunnybrook. It could be a part of that, but it's not necessarily.
It could be, right. And there was some misconceptions out there that, well, they're just putting this commission together so they can do, you know, they can get Sunnybrook done. No, that's not necessarily the case. Sunnybrook is one of many different potential facilities, areas of recreation that we've talked about. And right now the commission's worked very hard on going down and inventorying what we have, inventorying what we could possibly obtain, and then waiting on these results of this survey to see how that all meshes together. And there may be things that come up on the survey that we don't even thought about, and that's good. I mean, we want it to be as transparent and as open as we can, so that it's not what the commission wants. It's going to be what the community's asking for. Now, Sunnybrook is something that's on again, off again. Right now, it's probably on the back burner. It's not completely done, but because of some different things that have happened recently, it's always going to be on there as an option. But we want to add other options to that. We want to make sure that have to spend money and to build a facility or to upgrade what we already have, we want to make sure that it's we're going to get the most for the money, and it's what the community wants.
Anything new on the plans to build a new police and fire station?
We are in the process of continuing to work with the state on a piece of property for the fire station. It looks like we're going to go back to square one. It's going to be a separate, probably going to be separate facilities. What we're looking at right now is we're really looking hard about the feasibility of tearing down the existing police station, using that footprint, making some adjustments, and building a brand new police station there because of the location. Again, these are all things we're looking at. Nothing's been final. And then if we would do that, then we would also look at the fire station would be a new facility as well. This wouldn't be, they would not be together because we have literally turned over every rock in the city trying to find a place to put them together. We found places, but we feel like it's too much money to pay, and where that wouldn't be, we wouldn't be good stewards of the taxpayers' money.
When you talk about building separate facilities, though, is there some concern about the price tag going up? I think we're talking about $3.5 million to $4 million,
well,
roughly.
And that's a good question. I get that question a lot. We think if we can work out a situation with the state that we might. What was always built into that cost of $3.5 to $4 million was the acquisition of land. So we think that we could actually build two separate ones for close to that same amount because, number one, if and when we do go, if we were to go ahead and tear down and rebuild the police station on its existing, well, we already own that. So the land costs wouldn't affect us. And if the area we're working with the state and some other agencies looking, there's a chance that we could get something, a good deal on another piece of land possibly. And so really the land price difference where we own one of the parcels, I think would reduce that and make that still in the same ballpark. So it wouldn't be – our goal is still keep it within that range, in other words.
Okay. And what about the timeline?
Well, again, we have some things that are going to be coming off our books in the fall and the spring as far as debt service. We know how much is going to be freed up once an item comes off in the fall, and then once another item comes up in the spring, and so that will put us in a better situation to take on debt. And we're kind of, you know, in the meantime, though, while we're waiting on deciding the best time to do that, we are still in the planning stages, and hopefully we would like to start doing some actual architectural plans by the end of the year.
On another front, the plan is, and I talked with Tony Pence, who's the executive director of Downtown Moorhead, the reworking of the intersection Baton Oates and Bridge Street along with Main Street. That's going to happen, I guess, soon, along with and the changeover to parallel parking along Main Street. And he said this is going to happen this summer.
Well, our goal is to at least begin the situation there at the main intersection, the Baton Oates and Main by Pasquale's and the Cozy Building and, of course, the Round County Arts Center. That's going to happen pretty quickly, hopefully by the end of this month. And then we're just going to start going down when we can without taking all of Main Street out at the same time. We're going to try to go down and do it without as much disruption as we can to traffic. Of course, again, we're coming up on that hard date of MSU coming back in. So we're going to try to do what we can around that. And I don't know how much of Main Street we will be able to get done, get finished between the Pasquale's area, Baton Oates, and the Conference Center. But that's our ultimate goal. So I can't say here and promise that we're going to get it all done, but we're going to work that way. It all depends on how quickly, once we start taking some of those islands out and start doing that. I think once the turn lanes are made into, when the all-way stops made into a true four-way stop, I think that will show us, you know, how quickly the rest of it will go, because that'll show how quickly it can handle traffic. We think it'll be better. I know people say, well, you're reducing the lanes down to four. Yeah, but then you don't have six cars waiting at the same time. Although it's ran pretty smoothly, we think that going down to four, it'll make it a little bit easier, and that will slow again traffic down, which is our goal, to make it more walkable and more pedestrian friendly.
Yeah, you mentioned with schools starting and more traffic downtown, this would be a little challenging when you get into August.
It would be. So we're going to try to do as much as we can before then, and then see how our phase one goes, and then after that we'll work on what we think is the best timeline with the less disruption of traffic.
Mr. Mayor, as always, thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it, Chuck. Thanks for having us.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is our guest today on The Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz, your host of the program. We'll see you next time.